RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, if you're thinking of traveling this holiday season, you might be stressing out, because if you're traveling with kids, you certainly have a lot to think about. You're making your lists, you're checking them twice and thinking, what do I have to bring so I don't forget? My guest today, Dr. David Hill, fan favorite here at Healthy Children, has tons of kids. So he is like a perfect expert to talk about these sorts of things. So Dr. Hill, when you take your kids on vacation, do you make a list of medicines, medications? Do you start packing weeks in advance?
You know, I wouldn't say weeks in advance. And I've got a little bit of an advantage because being a doctor, I kind of have in my head what everybody is on. But we have the great fortune where we live here in coastal North Carolina of being a vacation destination. So not only do we get to travel, but in my office, we get to see a lot of kids who are in for the weekend and for the holidays, coming in for a beach trip. And it is always so helpful when they've got a list of medications, vaccinations, a phone number, a fax number for their home medical office. And we love to see those kids because, you know, we don't want them to have a bad time while they're here. So we hope we can help them feel better. But definitely you want a list of medications and allergies. As more and more doctors create electronic medical records or move to electronic medical records, almost everybody's electronic medical record has a one-click medical summary. And so if you see that your doctor's typing on a computer and you know you're going on a trip, say, hey, by the way, can you or your staff just give me the one page or, you know, a few page medical summary, because we're leaving town and we want to make sure that our child has, you know, all the information that we need. This is especially important if you have a child with special needs or a chronic illness like asthma, for example. It would be very helpful to identify what you might need when you get to where you're going. Are you going to plot a path that takes you through some medical centers, some hospitals? If you have a child who may be unstable, is there a drive you can take that, you know, maximizes your time in communities with medical access? You want to plot out your trip so that you're not going to be, you know, at the edge of the earth when your child has an asthma attack, if that's the sort of thing that happens to your kid.
Absolutely important to keep those medical records, make sure, and it's a great idea to ask your pediatrician for that summary. What about over-the-counters? Like if I'm traveling on a plane, we're going somewhere else, even if it's Disney World, I know you can buy that stuff, you know, or if you're going to Europe or anything, but I always like to have it with me just in case. What do you bring with you? Do you bring Motrin? Do you bring Gas-X or Little Tommies? Or what do you bring along when you're going away?
You know, I bring very little anymore. We do usually have some ibuprofen with us. We've got some teenage girls, so they tend to need ibuprofen from time to time. Everybody can get a headache, especially when they're dehydrated and their sleep schedule is off. But I don't use many over-the-counter medicines for much. You know, if you've got a sneezy, allergic kid, you'll want to bring some allergy medicines with you in all likelihood. It's never a bad idea to have a diphenhydramine, which is an antihistamine, for insect bites and itches, a little bit of hydrocortisone, maybe a long-acting antihistamine as well, like loratadine, which is usually sold as brand name Claritin, or cetirizine, which is Zyrtec. But I think there's a lot of over-the-counter medicines for many things. For example, cough, I recommend honey for a lot of people for cough. And so there's not, I don't carry a big kit bag with me for that.
Okay, now what about, you know, flying with children? So screening procedures for adults, we're used to all this stuff, Dr. Hill. We take off our shoes. But if you've got children 12 and under, these security guys can make them quite nervous. Give us your best advice for children going through security at the airport.
You know, pretending ahead of time, especially for young kids, role modeling is always kind of fun. On the internet, you should be able to find a video. I'm confident that there are videos, for example, from Sesame Street about traveling, about what's going to happen at an airport. But you can also play airport, right? You can watch the people ahead of you in line and say, okay, that's where we're going to go. We're going to be, you know, in four people, in three people, in two people, we're going to go. usually the security folks will let a parent go through first, especially if you're traveling as a team. If you've got two parents, you can have one in back and one in front. So, you know, okay, mommy goes through security, now you go see mommy. You can use those tricks. But most important is to prepare them. Kids don't like surprises, at least not most surprises. So talk about it and say, okay, here's how we're going to go through security. This is what it's going to look like. There's going to be a long line of people. There's going to be somebody there who's dressed kind of like a policeman, and they're going to tell you where to go, and we're going to go where they want to go. You're going to have to let your teddy bear ride on the conveyor belt and get his picture. You know, talk about the whole process ahead of time. And then it's going to be a lot less scary when it happens.
That's good advice. And I think that children 12 and under do not have to take off their shoes. And there's good information at TSA.gov on traveling with children and what they can expect when they're going through security. Now, what if we're taking long car rides? Because don't look at me. He touched me. He looked at me. Oh, my. I mean, it's enough to drive a parent. Plus, you got to pack in all the packages you're bringing and food maybe. It's enough to drive you bonkers and make you not want to go anywhere. What do we do about the behavior issues in long travel periods?
You know, it is really difficult because you like to have a large toolbox of inventions for behaviors. But when you're stuck in a car, a lot of the things you would like to do, you cannot do, right? Time out, it's kind of difficult to do, except I'm going to pull this car over to the side of the road and we're not moving again until everybody is behaving. We do emphasize driver safety, right? There are some behaviors that risk everybody in the car. People are throwing things, or they're turning on flashlights in the back of the car at night. The driver can't really see very well out of the window. Sometimes you do have to be willing to pull over. If you got a physical fight going on, you know, put on your blinker, look for a safe place to pull over to the side of the road. And boy, I have done it. We travel with five kids. We have to rent a Yukon XL to get anywhere. It is just one stop shy of a bus. And I have had to pull that thing over and say, guys, we're not moving until the behavior in here makes it safe for me to drive. There's enough scary things on the road without them coming from the inside of the car. There are privileges, of course, that you can take away. Who owns the radio? Who can look at their cell phone? You know, who gets to read aloud the story? Who gets the game? There are privileges that you can say, hey, here's what's going to happen. First of all, you lose the cell phone for 10 minutes. Second of all, you lose the cell phone for the rest of the day. Third of all, you don't get to play DJ anymore, right? I'm going to pick the music and it's all going to be classical, right? I mean, you've got some options in there. The same sort of flexibility that you have to have when you're trying to establish discipline in the house also has to go to the Yukon XL.
Absolutely. And, you know, that don't make me come back there statement has to mean something. You can't absolutely just be saying that and let them go because, as you put it quite brilliantly, safety is an issue. And I have been nervous and said, kids, you know, your dad is driving now. Stop it. You know, so there has to be some of that there and maybe talk about it beforehand. Guys, you can, you know, beat each other up when we take a break, but please don't do it in the car. Because kids do need to get those beans out, Dr. Hill. In just the last half a minute here, your best advice for traveling over the holidays with kids.
Wow. Have distractions. Take breaks wherever it is possible to take breaks. Use exercise breaks. We know that kids behave better when they've had a chance to run around. So if you see a chance to stop and literally have people run up and down a hill or something, get your kid out, give them a chance to exercise, and get the sillies out before you get back in the car.
That's great advice. Get the sillies out. Bring food along. Make sure your kids have distractions. Make sure they all understand the rules if you're going to the airport. No joking about bombs. No joking about fires. You know, because 9-year-old boys like to, like, joke about that stuff. So make sure your kids understand the rules because that kind of thing is not funny and never works out that well. So have a safe holiday with your children. Have a great holiday with your children because traveling with children can be fun and rewarding. Stressful, yes, but really, really rewarding. Take lots of pictures because it's wonderful. Have a great holiday. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Thanks for listening and stay well.